A new report by Friends of the Earth has found that so-called nanomaterials are being used in popular food products and food packaging without any warning to the public or new testing by the Food and Drug Administration. Materials made using nanotechnology can include more potent food colorings, flavorings and nutritional additives, antibacterial ingredients for food packaging, and more potent agrochemicals and fertilizers. Preliminary studies have shown that nanomaterials are much more chemically reactive than larger particles and can potentially wreak havoc when ingested. Neither the U.S. Food and Drug Administration nor the Environmental Protection Agency have recognized nanomaterials to be new chemicals or have required any new oversight of them. The report by Friends of the Earth, called Out of the Laboratory and Onto Our Plates, asserts that this technology can potentially cause organ damage and a decreased immune system response. FOE found nanomaterials in Miller Light Beer, Cadbury Chocolate Packaging, and Toddler Health, a nutritional drink powder for infants, sold at Whole Foods and other health food stores. My guest is Ian Illuminato. He is the co-author of the report and a health and environment campaigner with Friends of the Earth. Welcome to Uprising, Ian.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks very much for joining us. First, let's start with the basics. What exactly are nanoparticles? How are they made and how big are they?
Okay, well, nanoparticles are basically the science of the very small and the science that deals with the manipulation of atoms and very, very small particles, basically the building blocks of life. So just to give people an idea of how small a nanoparticle is, if you imagine yourself as a nanoparticle and you were standing next to a red blood cell, that blood cell would be 7 miles long. So this is extremely small stuff, and it also helps when thinking about how it may interact with our bodies to think of nanoparticles and these structures and systems at this scale at the size of viruses. So therefore being able to actually, they're small enough to interact with our DNA.
So what is the reason that corporations would be interested in manufacturing nanomaterials and using them in food and food packaging? I mean, isn't naturally produced foods enough, or is there another reason? And particularly, is there a profit motive?
Well, a lot of this we don't know. Unfortunately, industry isn't really good at communicating why it's using this technology, and they're not really good at communicating a lot of the safety risks that we're concerned about. But we have seen through studies that some nanoparticles can be a lot more potent than normal bulk scale ingredients. So, for example, you know, can make foods that are supposed to be white even whiter through titanium dioxide at the nanoscale, and certain flavors even more potent. So we think it's a pretty cheap way to make processed foods, or those foods that do gain a large profit, a lot easier to make and sell, especially considering some of the packaging uses for nanotechnology. It allows those companies to store those products for a longer period of time and also allows supermarkets to keep it on their shelves longer.
So is it true that nanoparticles can be used in the waxy material that you find on the skin of apples to just keep them fresher longer?
We didn't find anything in our report, but conceptually, that could be possible, and in fact, a lot of we're seeing so much investment from companies that we wouldn't be surprised if that could happen. But right now, it's for example, in Cadbury chocolate, some of that wrapping for some of those chocolates, nano adhesives are being used in burger containers at McDonald's, and Miller Beer, for example, is using nanocomposite barriers in their beer bottles to make them stronger and able to last longer.
So what are the potential dangers of nanoparticles? Why, you know, could they be dangerous even though they are so tiny?
Well, basically, what we're calling for is more studies in this area. And if you look at how much our government is investing right now in nanotechnology research and development, a very, very tiny portion of that is going into understanding what are the effects when these particles are consumed by humans and when they're out in the environment. So there are very, very little studies, and a lot of, you know, to say nanoparticles are dangerous or not at this point is would have to be mostly speculation. But we do have enough primary studies that are showing some definite red flags. For example, there's different types of nanoparticles, such as buckyballs or fullerenes, that have shown to be quite toxic to rats when they were inhaled and very damaging for their lungs. There's titanium dioxide nanoparticles that have shown to be toxic to water fleas and algae, which are important nutrition for different kinds of animals in water. And there's also different tests that show that nanoparticles pretty much have unprecedented access to different parts of our body and can actually go through the blood-brain barrier and into our DNA and actually change our DNA and mutate it and damage it in different ways. So we do have some studies that are showing that these particles can do some pretty interesting, funky things.
So
we don't have a full picture of what that entails.
So even potentially cancer-causing?
Yes, yes, for sure. And there are some studies linking nanoparticles to Crohn's disease, which basically leads to cancer.
My guest is Ian Illuminato. He's the health and environment campaigner with Friends of the Earth and co-author of the report Out of the Laboratory and Onto Our Plates. We're talking about nanotech particles that Friends of the Earth found in the food chain from grocery aisles to agricultural chemicals. Now, I understand Friends of the Earth found 104 of these products. How exactly did you find them? Did you just sort of randomly test items? And how does one test for nanoparticles if they're so tiny?
That's definitely an issue. We ourselves didn't test these products. A lot of the information we got was from websites or from manufacturers that basically were coming out and saying that they were using them. And also the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, D.C., they have a project on emerging nanotechnologies. And on their website, they have over 600 products listed that they've researched to find that include nanoparticles in those products. So we took a lot from that list as well.
Now, is a food that might be certified organic, which is something that the FDA regulates, could that contain nanoparticles?
Yes, potentially it could. And you asked about testing, and in fact, there's no current testing methods that are really reliable and cheap for nano. So a lot of what we're asking for is that the government be investing in different ways to understand, you know, where nanoparticles are, and just to have a better understanding of where they're going and what they're doing.
Once these have been unleashed, basically, they could just, you know, as you said, they can pass essentially through human tissue because they're so small. Do nanoparticles break down after a time, or do they have a really long life period?
We just don't know. There are soluble versus insoluble particles, and basically...
So it depends on how they're designed.
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, titanium dioxide that is used in sunscreens, those nanoparticles are insoluble, so they're meant to stay the way they are for a really long time, so they don't kind of melt away in a sense. And that can definitely be a concern in terms of, you know, where do they end up, how long do they last, and how do they interact with our bodies and the environment. And we just know so very little that it really is the case for government to retract these products from the market, give it some time, and understand. We need to understand a lot more before I would ever at least personally feel comfortable coming into contact with this technology.
So why is the FDA and or the EPA not regulating these if they're entering the food chain? And is there any call from Congress to either to have some kind of regulating or longer testing period or even just labeling of food items that contain nanoparticles?
Yeah, we think that definitely labeling should be the bare minimum. But to be quite blunt, we think that industry has a big say in what our government regulates and has a big say in what our government does. And nano is a big industry, and it's being hyped as the second industrial revolution.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of promise within there, but there's also potentially a lot of harm that could come out of this technology. And right now, it seems that any type of regulation could, you know, cause consumers to be afraid of this technology, and that might not be good for business or the next couple year outlook for business, which I think is, you know, to try to put this in as many products as possible and to try to sell as much as possible. So I guess when, you know, making money is your priority, human safety and environmental safety come second to that.
What about stores like Whole Foods? I imagine they would stop carrying the food that I mentioned earlier, toddler health, the infant nutritional drink powder that has nanomaterials. I mean, if they were made aware of your report and that this item mm-hmm. contains nanomaterials, wouldn't they stop carrying it, you think?
And Whole Foods is developing different standards for their products in their stores. So we are beginning to interact with them and on the topic of nanotechnology. So we really do encourage stores such as Whole Foods to put a ban on these products until we learn more about them. And that's something that we definitely want to develop, and we'll keep you all updated on.
You know, it seems as though, you know, we've just barely dealt with or are still dealing with the corporate control over the food industry that
mm-hmm.
has given us things like artificial food colorings and flavorings, genetically modified foods, irradiation of foods, antibiotics, pesticides. I mean, it goes on and on. The corporate control over our food chain has resulted in so much harmful interference with our food. And now this, I mean, how are consumers supposed to navigate through and actually find healthy foods to eat?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more difficult. And that's definitely one of our major concerns, is that more than just a technology, this is a revolution and an idea on behalf of business. To continue to strengthen the way that they feel humans should consume and buy food. And if we look at this, what this technology is meant to do in terms of packaging, it's meant to have it's meant to support our current food systems, which are basically, you know, let's ship food all around the world, which is definitely not positive for our climate, and let's keep foods highly processed and in packaging, which is definitely not, you know, the right decision for our bodies and the health of our bodies or the environment. So we do believe that this technology is going to re-solidify and reinforce some of what you just mentioned, some of that dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Now, Europeans are generally more discerning or more aware or more activist, I'm not sure, you know, about their food supply than Americans, it seems. Has nanotechnology entered the European food market? And if so, how are Europeans reacting?
Yes, it has. And our colleagues released a similar report the day before we did. And so they also had a list you can check out on the Friends of the Earth website. The European Friends of the Earth website, and they have a list of different foods that are being used in Europe. And right now, I think because of this issue is just coming to light in Europe as well, I'm sure that we'll start to hear some of the comments from the public over there, which I could imagine could not be very positive, especially because this is kind of in line with genetic modification.
Finally, Ian, what do you suggest listeners do? I mean, is it basically pressuring Congress to label this technology?
Yeah, I would definitely write to, you know, local government, federal government, and in the meantime, I would steer away from highly processed foods and really take as many raw organic ingredients as you can and make your own food at home as much as possible, because at this point, there's really no way to know where this stuff is and what it's going to do. So kind of lay low with the food that you have a feeling is good, whether you know where it's produced. It's always good to know where your food's being produced. So if you have access to local farms that are selling vegetables and foods, I would definitely go to them as a first option. And also, we definitely recommend interacting with your local grocer and interacting on several things. One, banning nano in food or asking their suppliers to not put nanotechnology in their food, and also asking their suppliers to use less packaging, because a lot of the packaging, in fact, does contain nano, and packaging generally is just extremely bad for the environment. And
well, Ian, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and I imagine listeners can get the report on your website, foe.org.
Yep,
thanks.
For sure.
Great.
And also, if anybody has further questions, feel free to contact us here. We work in Washington, D.C., and are happy to answer questions.
Thank you so much again, Ian.
Thank you.
Ian Illuminato is health and environment campaigner with Friends of the Earth and co-author of the report Out of the Laboratory and Onto Our Plates. We'll link to that report from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. You can get it directly from foe.org.